Your home for the 2008 NASCAR Sprint Cup is North Sound 1380 ESPN Radio. North Sound Racing with Steve Martin continues on North Sound 1380 ESPN Radio.
Montoya pushes him there, and Montoya immediately goes to the bottom. McMurray slides over the block. It's McMurray. Montoya, well, with Jeff Gordon to the wall. David Rudiman's there. John Wood is crashing. Three cars out of control and crashing off the end of the back straightaway.
Welcome back to North Sound Racing with Steve Martin, Carly Heath, and Galen Stewart. And we got to wait a couple minutes before Bob is ready to get on the line. So while we do that, why don't we just give you a quick traffic update with traffic all over the Pacific Northwest. And boy, I tell you, the Hewitt Avenue trestle, if you're making your way eastbound across the trestle, it is nothing but brake lights virtually all the way across. And obviously, if that's the case, then the right-hand lane making your way on I-5 northbound is going to be pretty stout, too. Heavy traffic pretty much all the way from Highway 526 up in the Everett Mall area northbound up to probably just before you get into Marysville. It's going to be pretty stout as well. Making our way further southbound. Actually, southbound I-5 is looking really decent all the way down into just when you get past the county line, when you get into the heart of downtown Seattle, looks pretty heavy, as it always does. 405 just pretty heavy all the way from the I-5-405 interchange up to very north end at I-5 and 405. So there's a quick traffic update for you here on North Sound Racing. As we are they going to call us back?
Is that the plan? I'm going to call him in 2 minutes now. He's 2 minutes away from the house. Big accident on the highway there.
So. Well, I wish we could have had that traffic report so we could have helped him navigate through it. Well, what Bob doesn't know is that we have a gentleman here, a good friend of the show, a good friend of mine, Ron Footsie joins us. And Ron and Bob spent a lot of time hauling up and down the highways at racetracks all over the Pacific Northwest. First of all, Ron, thanks for coming in and joining us tonight. It's really an honor to have you here.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, so as long as, you know, we know Bob's not listening, but give me some background on this guy that really has had a lot of people's attention, and a lot of people still in the Pacific Northwest very curious about Bob Fox and what he's up to.
Well, you know, we raced a lot against each other, but Bob was one of these, I mean, it was back in the late 80s or whatever, but Bob was just strictly, I mean, he just a pure racer. If there was a race somewhere, you know, he'd just want to be there, and sometimes he raced a lot of races, two in one day when he was running for that series championship back in them days, but yeah, that's what it was all about for him, though. He raced, and we raced on the IDC and everything together up there. And Bob was very, very competitive. Was always fast, won a lot of races, and really did a good job.
You know, I was thinking, I think it'd be a good idea someday if you and Bob wrote a book about. Now, I've heard some of the shenanigans. I've heard some of the stories, but what, you know, kind of give us an idea. I mean, you guys were pretty much unlimited as far as what you could do, and there was a lot of smart people back in those days that really knew kind of how to get around some of the rules, right?
Yeah, and, you know, if anybody knew how, Fox knew how to do it. Mm-hmm. And
what did he teach you, Ron?
You know, we just got all learned together. But, you know, back in them days, you know, we were able to, they come out with like a Dillon chassis back in them. And, you know, we could run like 70% left side weight and stuff. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's unheard of nowadays. But there was just a lot of things that you could do. And, you know, you really couldn't get police too hard because, you know, some of the officials just never knew quite what they're looking for all the time. And Fox, if anybody, could always keep ahead of them. But there was a lot of them that could. But, you know, he lived to race. I mean, that's all he did. He worked on them race cars all the time, and it showed it. I mean, when he come to the racetrack, he was always capable of winning and did a lot. But, you know, his equipment was always probably one of the best looking. His car was always prepared very, very well. And Bob is a really good driver, very competitive. And
I was going to ask you, Ron, based on what you're just talking about, did when Bob Fox won these races and stuff, did he win more on talent or did he win more on equipment? I know it's kind of a tough question to
ask. Well, I don't think he had a really too much better equipment than anybody, but, you know, the talent was there, and the talent was there to, you know, he set up the car. He did his, I think Copes did a lot of the machine work for the motors and stuff, but Bob basically put the motors together. He did, Bob did everything on the race car, where a lot of people had crew chiefs, and he had a crew chief named Tiny that did a lot of it, but Bob always knew. Bob was hands-on in everything that was done. You know, he was right in there doing it. He, you know, he didn't depend on other people to make things happen for him. He was, he could do anything on that race car that anybody else could. That's the way I should put it. And, you know, and the talent was there because he just flat won a lot of races.
Two laps to go. Bob Fox catches you at the end of the race. Would he use a bumper on you? Would he go around you? What would he do?
He'd use up anything he had. That car would get big and wide, whatever it took. You know, he'd race you to the end. Bob was always a pretty good, clean racer, though, but he would race you hard and wouldn't give you nothing. Not, you know, if you got it, you earned it, every bit of it.
All right, well, let's bring him on. We have he finally made it home. Bob Fox joins us. How are you tonight, Bob?
Real good, real good. Sorry for being a little bit late.
Hey, that's all right. I was just, when Carla told me that there was a big accident or something, you had to drive your way around, I was just doing a traffic report out here in Everett, and probably wasn't much more different than what you were dealing with.
Yep. Well, we're trying to get a car ready to go to Toledo, Ohio.
Uh-huh.
For the last ARCA Remax race, and so every minute of the way, and then heading home here, well, then there's a little accident along the way. So.
Yeah, what are you going to do, huh?
That's it.
Like the old days, you could have just drove around them, huh?
Well, around them, through them, whatever.
Well, Bob, it is an absolute honor to have you on our show. You know, when I kind of put a few posts up on the message boards around the Pacific Northwest here, and it got a lot of response about, man, I wish I could see that guy drive again. Because back when, you know, in the day, Bob Fox, and you know it as well as anyone else, boy, you just had him darn near beat before you got to the racetrack out here.
Well, I had a lot of help. I had a lot of preparation at home and really a lot of support in the Northwest. I mean, it wasn't just all me. It had a lot of support, and that makes anybody's job a little easier, you know?
Yeah, it sure does. Well, one of the questions that came up is, what are you up to now? What are you doing?
Well, right now I've been working on an ARCA Remax series car for Mike Harmon. Mm-hmm. And we ran a race up in New Jersey 2 weeks ago, and then he finished... it was 15th or 16th at Talladega last weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm running a dirt car, on a limited schedule running a dirt car. I still got the number 90, the number 90 dirt car. We're still running that for Roy Selby. And then I've also got a couple late models of my own that going to run, you know, run the past series down here.
Yeah. Now, how long have you been back in North Carolina, Bob?
10 years.
And what got you back there?
Well, I went to Wisconsin first to race around there. We were there for 8 years. And one of my crew members from there, John Schmidt, had a race shop. And him and Dennis Ford had a race shop in Milwaukee. So I went to Milwaukee and did that deal there. We kind of hung out there for 8 years and did a whole lot of racing in the Midwest. Mm-hmm. There.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there you can run 3-4 nights a week. And... So the weather just got too cold, and my brother had a bush team down here in Mooresville, North Carolina. So came down here and where the weather was a little bit warmer, and then I went to work for Jasper, the 77 car, the Cup car.
Mm-hmm.
Went to work for them for 3 years, and then did a land speed car for Muscle Motorsports, and that's it.
Wow.
Race.
Yeah. Well, one thing that I really need to bring up, and a gentleman by the name of Glenn Foster told me about this yesterday, was that you and your family were just recently inducted into the Kitsap County Sports Hall of Fame. So congratulations. And you made your way back out here for that. Tell us about that experience.
Well, I didn't get back there.
Oh, that's right.
That.
You didn't.
I had one of my crew members from back there accepted the award for me, but it was an honor to be able to be in that. You know, to be recognized for the accomplishments of my family and I mean, our whole family's all been involved in cars and racing and everything along the way, you know.
Yeah, and you're kind of keeping the tradition alive back in North Carolina. All right, Bob, we have a guest here with us, and I don't want to give the name of the guest away, but I would like to have the guest for just a moment think about something that only Bob Fox would know who you are. So we'll put you on the spot, but whenever you're ready, sir.
That's scary.
It is scary.
Bring up something that he would know, right?
Yes, correct.
One day in PA, he took the hood pins off my car jokingly after the race because we were in a barbecue. Because he would know when I walked back out that somebody was screwing around with my car. So,
all right, Bob, you have any idea? Or did you do that to a lot of people?
Ron Fritzley,
or
who else? What's that?
Or
guy from Canada. Just a couple different people we've done that to.
Bob, say hi to Ron Fritzley.
Oh, damn. I wasn't too far off, I guess.
No, you weren't at all. No, you weren't at all. And, you know, Ron has been gracious enough to share some stories about back, you know, in the day when you two and a whole bunch of other guys. I mean, Ron Eaton and I would just love to have you two just talk for probably about as long as you want on, you know, what you two went through back in the day when, you know, it was the rules were pretty loose. And you guys really knew your way around officials and you knew your way around rule books. But talk about some of the times that you had back then.
Well, what I was worried about when they asked about somebody from Port Angeles of something we did, I was thinking that when I put Ron up a little too high on the back shoes at PA and he went off the edge of it and down the aisle. I was afraid that was going to be what got brought up.
I was telling him earlier tonight, he says, well, did Fox ever give up anything or whatever? I says, no, not a chance. I says, you know, he'd race you hard and clean, but he would never give nothing up. So, you know, if you got by him, you earned all your way. So,
You know what I wouldn't mind hearing is what we're probably 25, 26 years away from that, though the statute of limitations has run out. But, Bob, talk about some of the tricks you'd use, none of which would apply today, but some of the stuff stunts you guys used to pull back then to kind of give you a competitive advantage.
Well, I'll give you one little tip. The fact that I think Ron will remember this.
Write this down, Galen.
He said, Ron said, you're a little off or something like that. You're a little bit off here today, Bobby. And I said, well, okay, I better go put the can to it a little bit more, tip the can a little bit harder. And I did, and the whole bottom end of the motor came out while I was practicing. I could hear people laughing when I was rolling through a silent stop.
So
we had some pretty good attitudes then.
Yeah. So Ron, let me ask you, if the roles were reversed and you had pulled something on Bob, any ideas? Anything you remember?
No, you know, that it goes back pretty far there. And, you know, all I know, you know, Bob was always the jokester, and, you know, but we all knew that or whatever. And, you know, and we always just had a good time. That's all it amounted to. And, you know, we raced hard and we raced clean and, you know, and like I was telling you earlier, back in them days, you could just get away with a lot because sometimes, you know, the officials, we were just a little further ahead of the officials at that point. You know what I mean? And I told you earlier, you know, Bob had mastered most of those that I knew. You know what I mean? Because I learned a lot from him, too, by just looking at, you know, his car and whatever and vice versa, I'm sure, once in a while. But, you know, it was all good back in them days. And like I told you earlier, you know, Bob did probably 90% of the work on his car all the time that I always seen anyway and could do any part of it. So, but we all did back then because it was, you know, you couldn't just buy everything off the shelf or whatever you had to do. Sometimes you had to make a lot of your parts and whatever, and you just had to make things work back in, you know, in the 80s because, you know, just not everything you could buy off the shelf. And so you could kind of tell, you know, the guys that really did their homework, and it showed up on the racetracks real plainly.
Bob, for so many of the fans that are out there listening tonight, as Steve shared with you earlier, he posted on the internet early this afternoon that you were going to be on, and a barrage of posts came up, people that are very interested in listening to Bob Fox tonight. And I just want to maybe ask you if you could just share with the listeners, and us included, during the late 80s when you were ripping it up out here and going after the Pacific Coast Championship, what motivated Bob Fox? Did you want to go to the race and beat a specific person, whether it was Toby Butler or Ron Fritzley, or did you just want to go win everything? Just share with the listeners tonight just a little bit about the state of the mind of Bob Fox in the late 80s.
Well, first off, I got to tell you, Ron started racing stock cars before I did. And I can remember going, sitting in the stands at Monroe Speedway and seeing Ron Fritzley standing there looking like Mr. Hollywood. I think it was a silver and red Chevelle, or like a 67 or 66, 67 Chevelle or something like that. And I thought, I want to be just like that guy there, because his stuff was always looking good. The thing about Ron's stuff, it always looked good. But then I didn't run Monroe right away a lot when I, first started running. And then I'd go up there and get beat up by, Carl Zareski. He'd beat me up a little bit. And same with Ron and stuff. And then a little later on, but when we started running for that the Pacific Coast deal, we were trying to run the Pacific Coast and the Northwest Tour. And it got to be a deal where we kind of had to pick between the two of them. And I really didn't, all I wanted to do was just race and win some races. We were running at Portland on Friday night because that was a good, it was like a live video game when you drove it at Portland on the quarter mile. You can ask Ron about that. I mean, it was a wild place to run on Friday nights. And then you go to Monroe and it was a completely different situation. And, Dennis Huth told me, he said, you've got a chance of winning the Pacific Coast, And so I had to make a decision to run the Northwest Tour or the Pacific Coast, and it was a deal. There was going to be a tour race up in way up in Canada, for Calgary, I believe it was, and the gas money to go there. And I kind of had to decide what I was having the most fun at that particular time, and racing two nights a week was the most fun. So I opted and went that way there, and I had a couple real good years there. I mean, doing that. I mean, I always liked going to Monroe. I'd run Portland on Friday night, and that was a completely different atmosphere. And then go to Monroe on Saturday night, and it just had a lot of fun racing, with Carl and Ron and everybody. I mean, we had some good races, I mean, it was always wasn't a beat 'em up show like it was in Portland. It was some good clean racing.
Bob, I remember as a youngster, there was times when, for whatever reason, there was a race at Portland and you had to fly up. Isn't that right? Am I mistaken? Or did you fly up, same race, in two different tracks, same night?
Yeah, we did that. And then we had a bet with Mickey Beadle. In fact, I think Ron was there on the... We had a kind of a different... It was a, we didn't have them too often, but we had, I think it was a Thursday night or a Thursday afternoon practice at Monroe. And we were going to run. That was when there was a new series that Bob Applegate piloted. It was called the Northwest Stock Car. And there was a race at Wenatchee on a Saturday afternoon, and then a race at Monroe on Saturday night. And we had a $100 bet with. And Ron probably remembers there's a $100 bet with Mickey Beadle if we could run that race there at Wenatchee and then still get over to Monroe and we did it. I forget what that pass is that we went through, but we got that race over Saturday afternoon at Wenatchee, and it was when they had the apple blossom deal, and we smoked her right across the mountain there and pulled in there in time to get Mickey's $100 bill.
There you go.
I don't know if you know this, Bob, but Mickey hung it up this year, so you aren't going to be pulling any $100 bills. He's not running the Evergreen Speedway anymore. Were you aware of that?
I just heard that, He did a good job.
You know, you had mentioned as we wrap up our time with Bob Fox, Ron Fritzley, kind enough to come in tonight. But one other guy I talked to, Ron, said, Bob, and you just brought it up. You probably had as much fun getting to the racetrack as you did at the racetrack. And one guy was mentioning something about getting, he was steaming up this mountain pass at about 70 miles an hour and says you blew by him at about 100. So sounds like it was pretty full on either getting to the track, being at the track, or getting home.
Well, you gotta have fun going racing.
Yeah, you do.
We had a lot of fun then. I mean, we had a lot of fun getting there, and as I recall, we had a lot of fun at Potosi's when we were done.
Landmark.
Well, Bob, I tell you, I wish we had more time, and someday we will. And what I'll do is next time we're on, I've got 6 more microphones in here. We're gonna have a big old bash for a couple hours one night next year when you're available. But I want to let you know, Ron's hair looks still really good.
I bet it does. He's still Mr. Hollywood, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah, he's always looking good. Always looking good.
Is he still racing? Are you still racing, Ron? Or?
No, not this year. I didn't. You know, I ran a few races last year, but, you know, my daughter, she races, and then my son-in-law races.
Oh, really?
So, yeah. And actually, she won 4 races this year in the Bombers, you know, when she runs the Bombers. So, does a pretty good job.
Great, great.
Yeah, so how many you got racing there?
Leon and Conrad, they've done a little bit. They started earlier. They did a little bit of foreign stock racing. And then and go-karts, we've done that deal. Street stocks, well, they got a little bit involved with girls right now. But we had a couple of late models there that they'll be ready to race.
I heard you got a grandson that rides them tractors, too.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Hey, Bob, for those avid Bob Fox fans out here in the Northwest, is there any websites that they can follow, maybe a team that you're working on or any of your kids or anything?
I don't know what Mike Harmon's website is, but I can give you, I'll let Val give you our website there, you know, my wife.
Okay, cool. We'll get that. We won't hang up when we're done, but we'll get that when Carla will get it when we get on the break. Well, Bob, thank you so much for your time tonight, and an absolute honor to have you on the show. And like I say this to a lot of people, but once I got your number, man, I don't lose it.
Well, honored to be on it, and good to talk to Ron, and keep on keeping on.
Yeah, we will. He's been smiling the entire time you've been on. So
I'll give you a website here.
Okay, cool.
It's a VChevy 6868@yahoo.com.
Okay, cool. Carla's writing that down. We'll get it out there for those who want to keep track. Bob, again, thank you so much for your time tonight. And it was nice to talk to Valerie. It sounds like you've got a pretty sweet deal going back there in North Carolina, my friend.
Yes, sir, we do.
All right. Thanks a lot, Bob. Appreciate your time.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks a lot. Bob Fox, man, oh, man, was that cool. Ron, thanks a lot. I hope your smile goes down by the end of the night. That was fun having you here. I really appreciate it.
Well, thanks for having me here.
All right. You are very welcome. When we come back, we're going to, let's see, we have Ricky the Kid Dietz, and we'll get him on, and then we still have Tom Moriarty and a special guest for Tom, and who told me a good story or two about Bob Fox as well. This is North Sound Racing. We are presented by Action Auto Parts and brought to you on the web by Sam Blasters Incorporated. Thanks a lot to Bob Fox. Thanks to Ron. That was why we do this show, folks. We'll be back after these messages.